Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
I can't begin to tell you how much I love this place. Cannot begin to tell you how much I love this place. I don't mean this place physically, but this place, wherever this place may be, wherever the enjoyers are there any enjoyers in the house? Are there any enjoyers in that house? How many of you know we're one house, that house, this house, we're all together, but wherever enjoyers are, I got to tell you, I love this place. I love this place where enjoyers gather together to lift up one name. How many of you know that is the name of?
Jesus.
I couldn't help but notice as on the intern ad there, as one of the brothers was walking, he had Enjoyer on the back of his shirt, and there's an Enjoy label on the window. But just being really honest, I thought to myself, it's good that there's branding there for Enjoy Church, but I got to tell you, there is one name. There is only one name under heaven by which men and women can be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. We never want to become more famous than the one that we are worshiping, the one that we are praising, the one that we love, and his name is Jesus. Amen. So we may be enjoyers, but I got to tell you, we're Christian first. We're kingdom first. We're Jesus first. Amen. So I got to tell you, I love this place. For some, this place is here in Victoria. For some, this place is here in Hobart. For some, this place is here in Adelaide. Grand Junction. Osaka. For this place, the house of God, my Father's house, is wherever two or three enjoyers gather together. Now, I say enjoyers. How many of you know the Father's house goes way beyond enjoyers? But for me, because this is where I'm planted and this is where my heart is at, I got to tell you, wherever enjoyers are, that is this place. For some, this place is a house of healing. Praise God. I'd say, in fact, that Enjoy Church from day one has been a house of healing. 21 years, this is what we are. We're a house of healing. I would also say that this place, it represents salvation. For some place, this place represents family. For others, it is hope and a future. I love this place and I love the people in this place. I love the peeps of Enjoy Church, I got to tell you. I love the towels in Grand Junction. I know you don't know them, but we know them. Most of you probably don't, but they are an incredible couple in Grand Junction. I thank God for the opportunity to be in America because it's connected me to this man and woman of God. I love the Grimshaws and the Pickens down in Gippsland. I love the Palankas that are not only here in this house, but also in this house in Osaka, praise God. I love the Calanders in Adelaide and the McDermotts in Hobart. And the Isbells in the east, and on and on and on we can go, because this place is never just this place, but it's wherever God would send us, wherever God would lead us, wherever God would take us, that is this place. I love the fact that this place, and this people, because how many of you know you got this place and it's only this place because this people, I love the fact that this place and this people are a people of faith. We are a house of faith and we walk by faith. We live by faith. We talk by faith. I walk by faith. How many of you know we are a people of faith? Amen. That's a reality. I love the fact that we've never been a people that shy away from what we believe God is saying. How many of you know 18 years ago when we came here, they said, Shane, if you go to Sunshine, they will bury you there. It will be the end of your ministry. It'll be the end of your church. You'll have no future. How many of you know when God has got a plan, we will get out of the boat. We will walk on the water all the way to the fulfillment of whatever it is that God is calling us to. We will not shy away. We will not shrink back. If we believe it's God, we're going to say, Lord, just tell us to come. And if it's God, we're going to get over the side and we're going to walk on the water, baby. We're going to walk on the water all the way to the fulfillment of the dream. Whenever we believe that it's God, we've got out of the boat because we understand that if we walk on the water, how many of you know God will get the glory? We walk on the sea beside on the sand or on the rocks beside the sea, we can do that. But when we get out of the boat and we walk on water, Jesus gets all the praise. Jesus gets all the glory. That's why we need to continue to get out and do what they say cannot be done. Now, if you're part of Enjoy Church, you're part of what we are doing together. Understand this, if you're planted here and you're doing the ABCs, you're an enjoyer, you're planted in the house, can I encourage you, anything that we do, we do. Anything that this house does, you do. We are in this together. I don't know about you, I don't want to live the bland life. I don't want to get to 87 years of age and say, what if I had have hopped out? No, I want to go do what they say can't be done. I want to do what the Lord says we ought to do. I want to put my hope and my trust in God and do something for the Lord. In Acts chapter 13, verse 36, it says, for when David had served God's purpose, everyone say God's purpose. How many of you believe God's got a purpose for your life? I'll ask those guys, they might be more enthusiastic. How many of you out there in Enjoy World believe God has got a plan for your life? They do. You guys are like, Shane, you're funny. I know. It's a gift. How many of you believe God's got a plan for your life? I got to tell you, if you haven't worked it out yet, it's an incredible plan. It's a glorious plan. There is a plan and a purpose that is uniquely for you. Just like you've got a unique fingerprint, God knows you uniquely and has a unique plan and purpose for you and for your life. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers and his body decayed. Now, just so you're aware, where it says here he fell asleep, it means he died. He didn't just fall asleep, then they buried him. You know what I'm saying? That would be a dysfunctional family. All right, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a man of God who lived God's purpose in his generation, and then when it was done, I'm not going to die. Don't fear death. Don't fear what they can do to you. You will live as long as you've got purpose. As long as God has got purpose for you on earth, you can be assured that He is going to uphold you. He is going to sustain you. He is going to heal you. He is going to fill you with His Spirit. And then when your purpose is complete, at that point, off to heaven we go. But not a minute before. He fell asleep and was buried with his father and his body decayed. In Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by
faith.
We are a people of
faith.
We walk by
faith.
We talk
faith.
That's the life. This is Paul, the apostle Paul. He says, I'm not going to do it like I used to do it. I came into Christ and I'm dead to my old self and I'm now living for the Lord. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The reason many of us stop at a certain point is because we don't have a revelation that Jesus loved me so much that he gave himself for me. I think we look at the multitudes and it's like, it's good for all of them. No, it's good for you and it's good for me. Jesus gave himself for me. He loved me so much that he gave it all. Paul has a revelation of this, and that's why he's like, I'm not going to live like I used to live any longer. I'm going to live by faith in the Son of God. May it be said of us, of all of us, of enjoyers everywhere, in the west, in the east, in the north, in Melton, in Camperdown, wherever it is that you find yourself today, may it be said of all of us, every enjoyer, everywhere, every location, state and nation, that we are a people of faith who live to fulfill God's purpose in our generation. I have no other reason to live now. I'm happily married. Georgie will be in heaven with me. It's going to go on forever. It's awesome. I've got two beautiful daughters and an incredible konnichiwa, if you know what I'm saying. I love my family. I've got two ugly dogs. I don't think they're coming with me. But how many of you know, I got my family and it's awesome. They're all going to be in heaven. I have no reason other than to fulfill the purpose of God in my generation to exist now. Fulfilling the purpose of God is not about me. Fulfilling the purpose of God now is always about others. It's about my relationship with God and taking that relationship to others to bring them into the kingdom of God, that they might worship alongside of us, that they may give praise to God. Praise to God. May be said of all of us that we are living to fulfill God's purpose in our generation. In Genesis 28, verse 17, it says, he was afraid. Now, this is Jacob. Jacob is now on the run. How many of you know what it's like to be on the run? Anyway, moving right along. Getting too honest in church. Jacob is on the run and he's fleeing and he gets to a place and he puts his head on a rock and he has a dream and he sees the Lord high and lifted up at the stairway and the angels of God are coming and going. And in Genesis 28 verse 17, he wakes up and it says here that he was afraid and said, "How awesome is..." I don't change the Bible, but I could write in little red words over the top of this place, "Enjoy church." Enjoy church. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. It's not a gate of heaven. No, it is the gate of heaven. I know Jesus is the gate. He is the door. He is the shepherd. I understand that. But the church, the local church, is the gate of heaven. This is where heaven touches down. So my Father's house is to become the gate of heaven. We're not a club. No. We're not the Collingwood Football Club. And we're not the Richmond Football Club. We are not a club. We are the body of Christ together. We are the family of God together. We are the local church, and the local church is to be the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven. This is the gate. My Father's house is to become the gate of heaven. Now it is a gate through which people might access grace, that they might find salvation, that they might receive healing, discover the very purpose for which they have been called in Christ Jesus. Now, so understanding that, in looking to establish new Enjoy locations, it's never been about, how many locations can we establish before we die? That is not the point of it. Anyone who thinks it's just about going to just get numbers on a scoreboard, it's never the case. No. If you know our hearts and you know what we bleed for, you know what we carry as a burden, then you will understand that I can promise you this. How do you spell new Enjoy location? W-O-R-K. Work. That's work. All right. We're not just looking to work. No. I can stay home. George has got lots of work for me to do around the house. If that's all it's about. It's not about work. It's not just about a number. Let's get another location. But it's about opening an access point, a gate of heaven through which people might access the grace of God, that they might receive salvation, that they might find the plan, the purpose that for which they have been called. That's what it's about. It's always been about souls. How many souls can we win for Christ? How many people can we bring into the kingdom of God? Now, how many of you are ready for some scripture? Oh, praise the Lord. All right. Everybody out there good? You're all good. All right, here we go. 2 Samuel chapter 24, reading from verse 18. That day, Gad. Everyone say Gad. How many of you know, if you read his name backwards, it says Dag. How many of you wonder about me occasionally? What goes through that man's mind? I promise you, I do too. That day, Gad came to David and said to him, who came to David? Gad. Came to David and said to him, go and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. So David went to do what the Lord commanded him. Who commanded it? I thought it was Gad. The word of God came through a man of God, and the man of God understood it to be the word of God. I think sometimes we just like, whatever. No, what is God speaking through us as a church? I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about men and women of God together. We are men and women of God. We speak the word of God. That's why we need to have the mind of Christ. That's why we need to have our mind renewed in the word of God. That's why we need to be in prayer meetings. That's why we need to encounter God, pray, seek the Lord, fast, hunger for God, that when we have the opportunity, we might speak on behalf of the Lord. So, moving right along. Go and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So David went to do what the Lord had commanded him to do. When Araunah saw the king and his men coming toward him, he came forward and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Why have you come, my lord? Araunah asked. And David replied, I have come to buy your threshing floor and to build an altar to the Lord there, so that the Lord will stop the plague. Take it, my lord, and use it as you wish, Araunah said to David. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and you can use the threshing tools and ox yokes for wood to build a fire on the altar. I will give it all to you, and may the Lord your God accept your sacrifice. But the king replied to Araunah, no, I insist on buying it, for I cannot present burnt offerings to the Lord, my God, that have cost me nothing. So David paid him 50 pieces of silver for the threshing floor and the oxen. David built an altar there to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the Lord answered his prayer and the plague was stopped. Just this week, we settled on our east location. I think we may have some photos here. It's just amazing, isn't it? You can give God praise because it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I think they're there. Are they coming? They're coming. Whatever. They'll come. And so it's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing to see what God has done. I got to tell you, I flew in from the Philippines on Tuesday morning. I had literally 1 hour sleep on the plane. There was lots of turbulence and it didn't matter how many pills I knocked down. It didn't help at all. Sorry, too much information. And I was like, I want to go to sleep. So I get here, I land, my eyes are like hanging out my head. I had 1 hour sleep. So what do? You go home to bed? No. I went and played 9 holes of golf. Very badly. Mick beat me. Praise God. 1 hour sleep. That's the only reason he beat me. No, just saying. That's all right. I'll see you tomorrow, Hobbit. All right. So moving right along. Stop it. So I had 1 hour sleep, so I went and played 9 holes. Then what did I do? I don't know what I did. I had to go to meetings or something. I went to the dentist, praise God. Praise God. You got to go, a brother's got to go. Dental hygiene is very important. As in, you don't want to walk up and pray for people and have them fall over. And it's like, as anyone say, man, he's powerful in the Holy Ghost. No, you got stinky breath, you know what I'm saying? You got to go to the dentist. Dentists are good. Good. Moving right along. So then I went to the dentist, then I had to do other things. But this is what I did. So I think it was about 9 o'clock at night, I eventually, or thereabouts, 8:30 or quarter to 9, I don't know, I finally got to the East Campus. I was not going to go to bed. I got Madison, my daughter, saying, Dad, don't go. You are exhausted. Your eyes are hanging out your head. I was like, I'm going, baby, I'm going. You couldn't stop me. I got to tell you, I thank God for that building. I absolutely... You go to that building, you'll go there. I know you'll go there. And when you go there, you will be gobsmacked. You'll be like, look what the Lord has done. You'll be like, I cannot believe it. I am speechless every time I go there. I cannot believe it is an absolute miracle. We have been able to secure this property through God's miraculous provision, absolutely. And if you know the story, and some of the brothers and sisters here, they know the story of how it came about, and it is an absolute miracle, yes. But let me say this, the miracle, as much as it has come from God, came through his church. Understand this. God is not about the business of just doing it all. Yes, we need a miracle. We need the power of God. We need the help of God. We need God to breathe on what we're doing. But understand this, this building didn't come through God alone. It actually came through his church, which makes perfect sense because his church is the gate of heaven through which the miraculous is to come. Now, we purchased the property, but not on the back of prayers alone. Okay, so now I know I'm getting funky for some of you, because it's like, it has to be through, yeah, we prayed, absolutely prayed. There's been so much prayer in regard to this property, it is absolutely ridiculous. But not through prayers alone, not through sacrifice alone, and not through a commitment to build alone. But we did, it has happened through prayer, through sacrifice, through a commitment to build, put it all together, and it doesn't just go back 21 years, but it actually goes all the way back to 1926. 1926, you say, 1926? 1926 is when the Oakley Assembly of God was planted. And from day one, there have been people there, and I know I'm speaking to people there, literally that have been there 60-something years, because they're watching right now. And we celebrate you and we salute you. But the reality is this, we've been able to buy this property and we're going to see it fitted out on the back of the prayers and the back of the sacrifices and the commitment to build for now generations, back to 1926. So as we celebrate the opening of the building, I am not just thinking about a few and look what the Lord has done, but I'm thinking about what the Lord has done And what this generation of believers has done, and the previous generation, and the previous generation before that, all the way back to 1926. In heaven, all those that contributed through the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, and up to now, they're all going to have a part to play in whatever happens in that building. Because they've sown into that building, they've sown into that property, but now we're all going to receive the benefit of it. And everybody said, amen. Verse 25 says, and the Lord answered his prayer and the plague was stopped. So the miracle occurred because the Lord answered the prayer, his prayer. Absolutely. But it's also clear that the Lord answered his prayer because of David's faith in action moved God to move. It's his faith in action. Yes, we want to be praying. Yes, we want to be sacrificing. Yes, we want to commit to build. Friends, can I encourage you today? Your faith in action will actually move God to move. I don't know about you. I don't want to live on the fence. You know, so many people live in the valley of decision. I love walking through the valley of decision. As in, you're not meant to live in the valleys. What did David say? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to camp here. I may take a moment to make up my mind, but then I'm moving on to make a faith statement, a faith commitment. I'm going to move through into everything that God has got for us. So we see it was David's faith in action that got him to move. David could have chosen the easy way out. There's lots of people today in churches all around the world that choose the easy way out. What does that look like? That looks like just A by itself. I just attend a church. How many of you know an A without the next 25 letters doesn't actually make much sense? The A is the beginning point. Just attending is great. In some people, that's where they're at. But as we mature, we're meant to move on. We've got to move on. Friends, I want to encourage you today. David could have chosen the easy way out. He could have said, so Aruna, are you saying that you will give me this sight? Are you saying that you will give me the oxen? Are you saying that you're going to give me the firewood as well? If that's what you're saying, so now I can come and sacrifice and it doesn't cost me anything. Yeah, baby, sign me up. He could have said that, but how many of you know he didn't? And praise God, he didn't. Praise God, he understood the way these things work. What did he say? 2 Samuel? 2 Samuel 24, verse 24. But the king replied to Aruna, no, I insist on buying it. I got to buy it. You got to let me pay for it. For I cannot present burnt offerings to the Lord, my God, that have cost me nothing. For all the Germans, nothing. All right. No. So David paid him 50 pieces of silver for the threshing floor and the oxen. David built an altar. He built an altar there. He didn't just get the tradies in. No, he built an altar there to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. David's offering was one that gained the favor of God and was twofold. It was both a financial offering and also one of commitment to build. He paid the price and he built an altar. I pray that between today and next Sunday, I want to speak to all the enjoyers. So if this is your church, I have no problem in going here, because the truth is many have gone here before us, and so I have no problem going here. If you're our guest today, just feel free to do with this whatever you please. But as the family, I'd pray that between now and next Sunday, we'd all work out between ourselves and God what we should do when it comes to giving into the vision offering this year, to establish new locations, new access points that we might connect people to heaven. I pray that between now and next Sunday, you'd also commit to building within your Father's house so that God can be glorified through your service. Service. I'm not just... Now, some of you are like... All right, Shane, just back up, Shane. All right, some of you would be like, Shane, are you asking that we would, one, give sacrificially into the vision offering, and that we would also commit to serving for the year ahead and find a place to serve? Is that what you're asking there? Because I know it sounds a lot. No, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking more than that. It's like, are you for real? Absolutely, I'm for real. I'm asking every enjoyer to do, I'm asking every enjoyer to work out between you and God what you are going to contribute financially to the vision offering. Yes, I am asking that. Every enjoy, if this is your house, do something. It doesn't need to be. We can't all do the same because we don't have the ability to do the same. But we can all do something. I'd ask every enjoyer to work out where you're going to serve for the next 12 months. Work out where you're going to serve. Make a decision today. I'm not going to go another year. Some of you have been sitting on your butt for a long time now. Just being really honest, you're sitting on your gift. You've got lovely gifts, praise God. But how many of you know they're not meant to sit on? They're not meant to sit on. We're actually meant to serve one another. We're meant to serve the King. We're meant to serve community. We're meant to serve somewhere. So I'm asking you to do that and that, but let's go further. I'm actually asking you to give your life totally to Christ. I'm asking you to give your life totally to Christ. To actually do what we said we did when we got baptized. When we gave our life to Christ, said we will deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow after Him. I'm asking you to do that. Now, I'm not asking you to do something that's not scriptural. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? And I think in our heart of hearts, every believer, anyone that's been born again would say, no, this is not actually too much to ask. For the past 21 years, I've seen enjoyers live their lives as holy sacrifices for the glory of God. I was speaking to Peter Scott out in the foyer last, and it was just so good to see Anna praying for someone down here. 21 years ago, I met Peter and Anna when I first came to what was Keilor Assembly of God. Anton and Louise and I and Gihan and the Nushira were out yesterday at one of their children's, Nishida's wedding, and it's like, for 21 years I've watched people sacrificially give their lives for the glory of God. I'm not asking you to do something that people haven't been doing from day one. The reason we sit in our locations today, the reason many of us sit in the gate of heaven watching what God is doing, being a part of what God is doing, is because of the generosity and the sacrifice of all those that are not only still part of our church, but those that have even gone before us. We are sitting here as a direct result of their generosity and their service. We are sitting in the west location here, but we're sitting in the east, and we're sitting in Adelaide, and we're sitting in Hobart, and we're sitting in Osaka, we're sitting in Grand Junction. Oh my Lord, I don't know about you, sometimes I'm like, look what the Lord has done. I can't believe what the Lord has done, but I understand this, it hasn't been Him by Himself, because He wants to use us. He wants to take us on the journey that we might be used for kingdom purpose. And so in that, I have no hesitation, not a second, in asking when it comes to financial sacrifice or service sacrifice, none. Because I've asked you, as the Lord has, to give God your life. And if God has got your life, these matters, well, they fail away. They really, as I can promise you this, everyone who's living for Jesus has never had an issue with me asking for money for what we're doing. Never has anyone had an issue for asking me to serve. Never, never, never. Because they're like, I'm already dead. You can have it all. Now, I'm not saying give it all. What I'm saying is this, work out between you and God. What should you do? If He says nothing, ask Him again. Well, Pastor Shane, I asked the Lord. He said, don't do anything, don't give and don't serve. Just come and sit. Well. That's not God's plan for you. He's put a rich deposit of Himself in you. I promise you this, I am richer because of what you've invested into my life relationally, personally. I walk in and I see my brothers and sisters from all over the world. We hug, we embrace. I know in this first service, and this makes no sense to everyone out there, but in the first service, during praise and worship, if you see me walking up and down the aisles and hugging and kissing and whatever, as in not too many kissing, but hugging, it's only because I want to connect with you. I typically go to the north. I've asked Louise, please look at my roster. I want to spend more time in the east. The truth is, I want to spend more time in the east, and I want to spend more time in the north. West. I'm west, aren't I? I want to spend more time in the west. I've said to Louise, book me in so I can just stay here all day so I get to hang out between services. I'm not a talking head. I'm a pastor that loves you guys. I'm a pastor that loves you girls. This is my family. I'm not looking to run through. I'm not looking to rush through. I want to be here more. I also want to be in the east. Just so you know, I'm trying to work out how to do the impossible. I want to spend time in the east. I want to spend time in the north. I want to spend time in Adelaide. I want to spend time in Hobart. I've got to work out how do I do this? Because I love you. You know, it might sound strange, but that's the heart of it. That's the guts of it. It's like, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. So I'm asking you to pray. What should you give? What should you do? We're going to live as living and holy sacrifices. All of us in all these locations, we're all here because others have already given and others have already served. That's why we're all here, everywhere. Can I pray for you? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for every location. I want to pray for every enjoyer right here, right now. From the front to the back, from my right to the left. If this is your church, I pray that God would speak to you. God would speak to you. I'm not looking here to tell you what to do next week. But I pray. And this is what I think we're going to do also next week. We're going to have the opportunity to sign up to an area to serve. You say, how long's that been in the plan? About 4 seconds now. We just go with it. We'll go with it. We want to be living holy sacrifices, giving our best to God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for every man, for every woman, in every location of Enjoy Church, in every state, in every nation. I pray for enjoyers everywhere, Lord God, that as we seek your face, you would speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that your word is not a long way off, but your word is close. I thank you, Lord God, your ear is attentive to the cry of the righteous, and you will always speak to us. So I pray right now, Lord God, from the front to the back, from my right to the left, I pray for every man and every woman, that we would have clear hearing. Clear hearing. It's our vision offering. I thank you, Lord God, we have clear sight into the future. But now I pray for clear hearing, that we would all know what you're asking us to do, whether it be here in the east, in Hobart, Adelaide, Osaka, Grand Junction. May we hear, individually hear, what you would speak to us. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for every brother and every sister, when it comes to their generosity and what they should do, what they should contribute, what they should pledge, I pray, Father, speak to them. What they should do over the next 12 months, where they should serve, how they should contribute to the needs of one another. May you speak to them. And I pray, Almighty God, as we do this, the gate of heaven would be made wider and wider and wider, that more people might come, that more people might come to salvation, that more people might come into the family, that more people might come and find themselves a home here in this house, Lord God, that more people might be introduced to you, that more people might be healed and made whole, that more people might come into a relationship with Christ, Lord God, that in the fullness of time will truly reflect that which Paul so powerfully exhibits in his life. Lord, he didn't just say that he was a living and holy sacrifice. That is what he became. We know, Lord God, Lord, that he did, Lord God, lay down his life. He laid it all down. He considered it all rubbish, Lord God. He left it all behind. And he laid hold of you and the life that you had for him. And now he encourages us also, Lord God, to live as living and holy sacrifices. And I pray, Lord God, that is what we would do. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name now for every man, every woman in this room. Bless them and bless them abundantly. Bless their families, bless their homes, bless their businesses, bless all that they put their hand to. Lord, I pray, Lord God, Lord, that the joy of the Lord would be ours. And Lord, we would live long in the peace of God. We would celebrate each other and celebrate all that you're doing. We would cheer each other on to love and to good works. So Lord, this day and every day, I give you praise and I give you honor in Jesus' wonderful name. Bless your people. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.